Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on this December 3rd. We're live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill Studios as we wind down the U.S.'s run for the World Cup and advancing. Just down here at Ferg's, it looks like rats jumping off a sinking ship.
Yeah, people are definitely pulling out of here. If you need a place to park, you'll definitely find one now.
It was very exciting earlier, folks. We opened at 9 o'clock, and the U.S. of A did their best. And we'll talk to Alex Reba a little bit later on, but went down, what, 3-1?
3-1 loss against the Netherlands. It definitely shows that the USA does belong on the national stage for soccer, and it definitely means that we have a lot to prove coming up in 2026 when the World Cup comes to North America.
I hope I'm still alive. Of course, he's Ben Botham. He's my Savannah State number one draft pick. He's there each and every Saturday to help me through the next 2 hours. And we're brought to you by Body Armor. We're brought to you by Sea Dogs, as well as Big Storm Brewing. And we've got our good friends over there at Shrimpy's. And we'll just keep adding sponsors to get this baby rocking and rolling, buddy. I'm going to have to throw you out on the streets.
Hey, I'm all right going out on the streets, Mike. You know, I'm versatile.
Here's talk about versatile. How about this lineup today? We're going to talk in the prep connection. We'll talk to Doug Skull. He's the Northside Christian head basketball coach. We'll talk a little hoops. We'll talk to Ryan Thompson, taking a look back. Cody Montgomery. Ryan Thompson's the wrestling coach. Cody Montgomery, and he's from Osceola. We'll talk a little rewind of his season. And then we're going to change gears a lot, literally change gears. We're going to talk F1 and Grand Prix with Michelle Rahal. The Rahal family, of course, synonymous with open-wheel racing. We'll talk to him. He'll give us some input on, of course, we've got the Firestone Grand Prix right here at St. Pete, one of the best in the country. Then we'll go out to Tampa Bay Downs for the Sandpiper Stakes race about 1:30. Then Captain Jeff Vickers will swing by to talk fishing. And then, of course, we'll talk a little Florida football playoffs. And it looks like it wasn't good news yesterday for the local high schools as Jesuit got just absolutely thumped. They're the reigning state champs. 45-3 by St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas is one of the top teams in America, but Jesuit is no slouch. So that gives you an indication of the level of football. Oh, and we have an elf sighting.
Oh, wow.
We have an elf sighting on this Christmas weekend down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Hello, Mr. Elf.
How are you?
I'm good. And where's Santa at?
Santa's out back with Frosty. We have a new member this year.
Frosty, Santa, and you. How was the trip from the North Pole?
Well, I flew first class.
you flew first class? Was that on
Alaskan Airlines? Of course.
Not on Rudolph's back?
No, it the seats in the sled are too hard.
Well, I look forward to our Christmas weekends, the next 3 weekends down here.
Yes.
When are you going to be making an appearance again? Today it's for the dogs, the canines, is that correct?
Yes, out back.
Are you a dog lover there, Mr. Elf?
I have many dogs, yes, but the 17th.
I'm not talking about the gals you hang out with. I'm talking about four legs.
It's a matter of, I think you need new glasses. No pixie dust for you.
All right. Well, 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, is that the opportunity to have your dog picture with Santa? And
12 to 2. He's already started.
Oh, well, get your butt back there, Mr. Elf. Thanks for making a cameo appearance here today. All right. That's the kind of fun we have down here at Ferg's. It is, of course, a Christmas celebration for the next 3 weekends. There's always something going on. And I was wrong. We have the opportunity to get your picture taken with your dog right now until 2 o'clock.
You going to hop on Santa's lap, Mike, get a nice picture with him?
Yeah, I'll hop right back there, partner. Where was I? Oh, well, Jesuit needed some magic pixie dust as they got hammered 45-3. And then Lakewood, of course, Coach Moore and that Spartan program, it's very, very solid. They played Miami Central and got beat 39-21. And then you said
CCC is the only school that got a win 34-29 and a come from behind victory. So that was great in the last seconds of the game.
So they're representing Pinellas County and Hillsboro in the state championship.
At least one of our teams made it all the way, which is good to see.
Yeah, tough duty. All right. So and then Captain Jeff Vickers, he'll swing by. We'll talk fishing. So that's a lot of versatility. Our Fergs from the front row brought to you by our friends at Coppertail and our good friend Will Law. I want to do a shout out to him from Coppertail. Will is a superb guy supporting us now. And unfortunately, he's young. He just got married and he had a brain tumor removed and he's going through a lot right now. So our thoughts and prayers and everybody at Ferg's love Will Law and, of course, Coppertail Bear. And then, like I said, it's another Super Saturday. You got the college football lineup. Why don't you go over that, Ben? Brought to you also by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka, Charlie, and Break Iron in the Gang. We got some exciting things taking place down there in 2022, 2023. Yeah, all the ones that are checked, those are conference championship games. Last night, University of Texas, San Antonio.
Yeah, so it looks like we have Troy versus Coastal Carolina, Georgia versus LSU. I'm sure our friends at Frenchies will enjoy that game. TCU versus
What? What'd you say?
Our friends at
Shrimpies.
Shrimpies, excuse me, Shrimpies.
I just got attacked by an elf. My God. You got to watch yourself down here, Ben.
Oh, boy. We got Clemson versus North Carolina, Toledo versus Ohio, Jackson State versus Southern.
Breaking news, Jackson State, of course, there's been conversation, Dion. He is signing with the Colorado Buffalo.
Is that confirmed yet?
Yes, sir. And it's not, you USF Bowl fans, I thought you were a little, opportunistic and optimistic that he would even consider.
The rumors were that USF was going to give him control of the construction of the new stadium, and that was very appealing to Mr. Primetime Deion Sanders.
Have you been to Boulder, Folsom Field?
I don't like places that are cold, so I try to.
It's gorgeous, though. Oh my God, I've been to probably a half dozen games there, and
You say. So
and they've got money.
Highway.
They used to be a power back in the 90s, and I don't know what happened to them, but now with the transition of college football. Having Deion Sanders as a Colorado Buffalo will make a huge difference. And like I said, I'm very close to that program. I got two sons in Denver right now, and we'll see what happens there. So back to Jackson State.
Versus Southern, we have Tulane versus UCF, Boise State versus Fresno State, Michigan versus Purdue, and Buffalo versus Akron.
And those are all conference championships, of course, last night. And I watched a good portion of that game. And I still think even if they hadn't lost, their quarterback hadn't been injured, I just think Utah would have prevailed. And that was a great game. And the Utah Utes are the Pac-12 champions. And that's going to really mix things up on Sunday night, depending on what happens today. And I don't see anything earth-shattering taking place today in the world of college football.
Well, last week, of course, we were off the radio at the time, but Michigan did beat Ohio State, like I called. I would just like to point that out there, Mike. I did say Michigan.
You're a baseball guy. What do you know about football?
I don't know much, but I know when I see a winner. And that loss was so tough for Ohio State that the president of Ohio State, Christina M. Johnson, is expected to announce her resignation Tuesday. She resigned at the request of the trustees, according to sources.
They can't run the football coach out, but they'll always find some scapegoat at Ohio State, the Buckeye fans. And I will tell you what. You go onto social media, and Alex will join us here. You go on social media, and you want to see some brutal a-holes to the Michigan fans. And I experienced that first firsthand in Iowa City. And it was probably about 2006. It was my pops was still alive, and it was the last game he got to go to, and he was ecstatic. We shocked the world and beat Ohio State. And as we are walking back, we're in Iowa City. As we're walking back to our tailgate, and he's just beaming, you know, he was frail. Just brutal attacks on us. And the officials, and you know the reason they lost. So I am definitely not an Ohio State fan any longer. Not that I'm a big blue fan either, but if I'm gonna, not because I love the Big O, but I've been more partial to Michigan State when it came to the enemies in the Big Ten than those two prima donna programs. And as a Penn State graduate, Alex, what was your opinion?
Rose Bowl. That's my opinion. Rose Bowl, which Rose Bowl doesn't even want Ohio State. So, I mean, it's good for us.
Yep.
We'll take it.
You guys travel well, too.
We travel extremely well, unlike apparently Ohio State, according to the Rose Bowl officials.
And they're so arrogant, they're snubbing their nose at people after getting that absolute pounding, which I did love it. But I don't care for either program, so it's one of those.
I mean, so you say you're partial to Michigan State. Is that just because they are relevant most years?
Well, yeah.
I mean,
I know Iowa.
I mean, because everyone hates Ohio State and Michigan because of their dominance. And now, I mean, Michigan, I would say, is entering into an era of dominance. If they're gonna be the new gold standard for the Big Ten.
I'll tell you why I like Michigan State is because when Iowa has a nice basketball team, but we never advance much further. So I'm always pulling for a Big Ten representative.
Yeah.
And
which doesn't mean anything in March Madness in this century.
No, it doesn't. But I love the fact that Tom Izzo always shows up for us, and you can always count on his team to get somewhere.
Get somewhere, but never get across the line.
He's gotten across. He's gotten a couple of championships.
Not in this century, though. The Big Ten basketball is just, I mean, that's a whole different segment in which I could spend 10 minutes upon how Big Ten basketball never can get across that one.
Well, and football, unfortunately. We'll get there.
Well, speaking of the Rose Bowl, they have signed an agreement with the college football playoffs that paves way for the expansion for a 12-team playoffs starting in 2024.
Well, and I'm an advocate. Are you an advocate of the 12-team playoff?
All right. So if you're going to speak to the professional side of me, I'm going to say no. But if you're going to speak to the Penn State homer in me, then the 12-team playoff was built for us because we come in 10th about every single year. We're projected like Clemson in this
current year. You guys are 8.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we were built for a 12-team playoff, at least entering in it. I don't know. I'm not saying winning it. But we're the team that always is right on the outside that never gets in. But I also think there is the 12th team in the nation is not winning a playoff in college.
No, and it's just a money grab, but it's also good for the fans. And as an Iowa fan, that on our best year, number 12 is a nice finish for us. There's hope that we can make the playoffs. And that's why I don't care if it's Major League Baseball or the NBA or college football. The expansion of the playoffs is all about a money grab and the number of eyeballs they can add to the television viewing audience. Simple as that.
It's honestly surprising it took them this long to get it.
I agree.
Kind of off. Because I mean, like you said, it's a money grab. And at the end of the day, college football and the NCAA as a whole has proven they're in it for the money. They're not in it for the fans.
Really?
So, see, there you go.
Oh, it makes me want to throw up, actually.
I find it shocking that, there was always discussion about 6 teams. That's what I was always a proponent for because we've always had that power group of 5 team like UCF
and an outsider.
Cincinnati. They deserve to be in, but I don't necessarily think they deserve to be in. I don't necessarily think they deserve to be in a 12-team playoff. You know, I mean, there's a clear drop-off every year, and I don't think that's changing now that the NIL is becoming even more a proponent of college football.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, they look to gain at least $450 million per year with this new agreement for a 12-team playoff. ESPN, of course, getting the rights from 2024 to 2025, and then they would have to agree on a new deal following that.
All right, well, now let's switch gears. Of course, we opened at 9 o'clock down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill for the much-anticipated World Cup game as the U.S. team advanced to play the Dutch. And this young man knows more in his pinky than I do, well, the both of us collective. non-soccer fans. And you just got done watching at a watch party. A lot of disappointment there. Same thing here. People have bailed out. But still pretty impressive they got where they're at with that young of a club.
Can you hear me? Oh, there we go. That's exactly right. So, I mean, I'm as optimistic a person as you're going to meet. But it's hard to find optimism when you're the youngest club in the entire field of the World Cup. This is the final year in which we have a 32-team bracket. It's going to expand by 2026 when we're the hosts, and it's going to be a much more open field at that point. But coming into this World Cup, we were no one's favorites. We weren't even necessarily favorited to come out of our own group. So yes, reaching the round of 16, that is a success in itself. But we're also the United States. We're one of the powerhouses in sports, in any sport, whether or not it's soccer, football, whatever. We are expected to advance. And this is the second successive World Cup appearance we've been disqualified in the round of 16. That Belgium game had similar facets to today's game against the Netherlands, in which we played a better opponent and they outplayed us, but we were never completely out of the game. The Belgium performance was a little bit more impressive in that we got dissected on the wings today against the Netherlands, and that was kind of our biggest strength coming into this tournament, was we had so much depth on our wingbacks. We had Anthony Robinson and Sergiño Dest were our top starters no matter what. But we had backups coming in from multiple sides that we had so much confidence in. But you know what we never had confidence in was a nine. We never had a striker. We never had a guy like Harry Kane, like even a Cristiano Ronaldo is not a technical nine, but a guy that can get you a goal, a Messi, a talisman. That's so critical in soccer.
In the world of basketball, is that like he didn't have a LeBron? He didn't have a key person?
Playoffs, yes.
Superstar,
in the playoffs, yes. You need that guy to get you that 50-point performance.
Gotcha.
And we didn't have a guy.
You got to dumb it down for us,
dude. Yeah, because I didn't understand any of that.
Okay. I'll be 100% honest with you. So for the less advanced soccer listener, the U.S. did not have a guy that can get you a goal. You know, Christian Pulisic and Tim Weah are clearly far and away our best forwards in this entire tournament, but they were never guys that could just, you could get them the ball and they could make a goal happen by themselves. You know, Pulisic, as great as he is,
he can take over a game.
Exactly. And it's very difficult to take over a game in professional football, in soccer. Like, it is an extremely team-oriented game that comes in flows. You know, in a game when it's 1-0 is going to be the deciding factor, that one goal is extremely paramount on potentially a counterattack, which happens when, say, you have four guys in basketball up and you have one guy playing defense. That's what happens in soccer. If you push everyone up towards the attack and you have no one back to defend, you're going to get exposed. And if you have a quick, pacey team, which the Netherlands currently has, then you're going to get exposed. And that's what happened today. But the nail that broke the camel's back, or whatever analogy you want to say, was that goal before halftime.
The straw.
Thank you. The straw that broke the camel's back was Daley Blind, a guy who scored two goals in his, like, I think 80 caps as a Netherlands national team representative. He is not a goal scorer. Okay. I mean, he is, I don't even know how, it's like if you were going into an NBA game and a 12th man just dropped 25 on you.
Comes off the
okay,
pie.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, this guy is the identity of a...
So he's a Dutch hero right now.
You familiar with PJ Tucker?
Of course.
Yeah, he plays 30 minutes in an NBA Finals, but he doesn't put more than two baskets in. You know, like, he is there for a reason, and when he scores a goal on you, that is going to be...
Yes, like, a death.
The straw that breaks the camel's back. Exactly.
Hey, there was a report, though, earlier this morning as I was trying to do some semblance of preparation for this conversation, and that the Dutch had, like, four or five guys that had a flu bug. Did you hear that report?
I missed that report.
Because then I said to Ben, well, I'd heard that, and maybe, you know, after we went down 1-0, I thought maybe there'd be some hope to wear them down, and they seemed to have more energy just the short period of time I watched them.
They did. I mean, that's another thing about the Dutch, is they have more depth than us. And I mean, we didn't have a starting nine that we could rely on. They did, and they also had depth behind that nine. And the nine is the striker position, in case you weren't familiar with that. But the U.S., they had depth in specific, and that's kind of the idea of world football, is that guys will choose their country. So one of our best players, Sergiño Dest, he was not our best player today, but he was our starting right back. He's a Barcelona right back. He's one of our best young talents on this team. He actually grew up in the Netherlands, so he has the ability to play for the Netherlands.
Kind of like the Olympics, you have the same option.
Exactly like the Olympics. So he chose the United States because, you know, he would not have been playing today if he had chosen Dutch nationality.
He's not good enough.
But he's an extremely talented player that deserves to be playing in a World Cup, but he has that.
That was like the controversy of the young lady who was an American that competed for China in the Winter Olympics. Do you remember that?
It's similar. There was a lot of controversy there. Guys change a lot their nationalities, and they have that availability, which usually benefits the game as a whole, because if every guy that had Cameroon and French nationality chose France, it would harm the sport, because Cameroon would not be able to compete against a French national.
All right, he's Alex Riebel. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation. Did you learn a lot in this?
I'm processing.
Very impressive. We'll be back. Sure. We'll talk a little bit more World Cup soccer. Then we'll talk a little high school for about 10 minutes. Then we're going to bring Alex back and talk about Big Ten, NFL, just a cornucopia of topics right here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. Only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is Mike Rickard, and I personally want to welcome our new supporter and partner, my Iowa friend, Barb with Champa Bay. Barb Grossenheider is with First Class Real Estate Gulf to Bay, and Barb brings her Midwest work ethic, her integrity, her commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge as she grew up in a family of home construction success for decades. Barb's energy and her bubbly personality take the stress out of the challenge of home buying in today's difficult market. I assure you, I've recommended her to my friends, and I look forward to spreading her professional service to all of Champa Bay. So reach out today with Barb from Champa Bay, barbwithchampabay@gmail.com, or give her a call at 813-564-4134. That's Barb with Champa Bay. Give her a call today, 813-564-4134.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central, across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action, with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action, along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I'm Captain Jeff Figgers from Florida Fishing and Adventures. Do you want to constantly catch more fish, spend less time changing baits? If so, Monster 3X baits, jigs, and scents are the answer. Monster 3X baits are tough, durable, and resistant, which allows you to catch more fish per bait. The combination of the Monster 3X lure with the ProCure bait super scent, you will be landing more fish right away. Whether it's the Monster 3X Ultra Soft or the X Swim lures, Swim Shad, Paddle Tails, Crawfish, or the X Frog, Monster 3X, you'll always find it in my tackle box.
Rolling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on this first weekend of December. A gorgeous day down here. Very active. Started at 9 o'clock with the World Cup, the U.S. versus the Netherlands. Of course, unfortunately, not the result that we were anticipating, but it was a nice run. And I love the fact that it brings the old red, white, and blue, and everybody bonds together. As I say, sport, music bring people together. And this was just a prime example today down here at Ferg's and across America. Let's dive into the Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill. From the front row NFL breakdown, remember, there's 105 televisions down here at Ferg's. And whatever game, whatever team you follow, we will make certain that you get your own television with your cronies, your party, by yourself. we will get it turned. And Ben's got tomorrow, I think it's week number 14.
13.
Week 13. Week 13 in the NFL. Man, time flies.
Certainly does. And make sure you guys have your fantasy team lineups all set up, because I know this is kind of the crunch time for everyone. We have the Commanders versus Giants, Vikings versus Jets, Steelers versus Falcons, Packers versus Bears, Lions versus Jaguars. That'll be a real stinker of a game, I feel like. Eagles versus Titans, Ravens versus Broncos, Browns versus Texans, Seahawks versus Rams, 49ers versus Dolphins. I do believe the Dolphins will continue winning against the 49ers there.
That's just because your pops is a diehard Dolphin fan.
Hey, I believe.
Are you on that bandwagon too?
Well,
you were brought up in a household of Finn fun.
Yeah, so I do believe in Tua. I was one of his doubters at the beginning, but I have bought in now, and the Tua fans are definitely taking receipts, and they know who's their enemy, right?
Tuanon, as it's
Tuanon, of course. Yes.
I like the fact that he's persevered. At least I'll say that. And it's amazing these Alabama quarterbacks that I didn't think would be starters in the NFL are having success.
And then we have Chiefs, Bengals, Raiders, Chargers.
Chiefs, Bengals. That's a rewrap of last year's AFC championship.
That should be a good game. Excited to see that. And Cowboys versus Colts. And of course, on Monday, our Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, well, that'll be an interesting contest.
Now, hey guys, how's it going?
Doing great. How you doing, Coach?
Not too bad.
Well, hey, speaking of football, what's your favorite NFL team?
You know, being a Bay raised kid, I'm Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and had a few teammates from Detroit area growing up, so I've always watched the Buccaneers and Detroit Lions. So,
well, let's talk about the 2022 season. Nice year for you guys as high school football winds down. Of course, this is Cody Montgomery, Osceola head football coach, and you had a nice year.
Yeah, not too bad. We had a couple hiccups there in the middle of it, but overall, you know, kind of that ebbs and flow of a season anyway, where you start out real fresh, and you know we start picking up our pace, and you know some injuries start to occur, and right there in the middle, we had, and I feel bad for our offense coordinator because he had to go through the season. You know, we lost three at the start there after game three, and then we lost about three more within the next 3 weeks. And so he was missing six offensive starters from the beginning of the year till week six or seven. For the season, so they had to kind of refine their identity on offense, and we sat down and kind of did some things a little more simple, and we got back firing on all cylinders, and you know, wound up, you know, winning some tough games there at the end to put us in playoff contention, and you know, and kind of finishing off the season that way that we wanted to, and getting that playoff berth in a district championship for the first time in 28 years. So
very impressive. And when you take a look at the 2022 season, there were a lot of things that were factors for all the schools in the Pinellas and Hillsboro area. And weather was certainly one of them, with Hurricane Ian and tropical storms. And of course, seemed like on any given Friday night for about 5 to 6 weeks, torrential downpours. But that wasn't just on Friday nights. It was also trying to get practice in as well, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. There were definitely some times we went out to our practice field and, you know, our feet would be in water the whole time. And it was pretty frustrating there for about 3 or 4 weeks I mean, we kept our fans on in the locker room pretty much all the time, and you know, washing and drying kids' shoes and cleats, and you know, it's definitely a different dynamic this year, but it's happened before, and you know, adversity is never a bad thing. So,
well, yeah, and you're teaching these youngsters, you know, to cope with adversity, which will be, you know, life. And that's the most important thing that as a head coach or any mentor, And I've seen you with your kids. You do a superb job, and they've got a great leader over there. Let's talk about some of your seniors that had a big influence in your success of making to the playoffs for the first time in 28 years. Let's recognize some of the kids that stand out, and any of them that may be advancing to play at the collegiate level in some capacity.
Yeah, so to start out, I'm a defensive-minded person. I'll start on our front end on the defense. We had actually nine of our D linemen were seniors, and two of them really led the way for us, with Brian Rodriguez being a defensive end, which he had to in week 7 make the change from defensive end to right tackle for us, and you know, he really helped us out in carrying that momentum back to wins. And then we had a down lineman, Raymond Lewis, who, you know, really plugged up the middle, for us and did a heck of a job this year, just in playing his role and making plays. You know, he was probably the most improved player, that we had this year, from the previous, our linebacker core, which is all returning next year. We had four, linebackers that were all juniors, and you know, respectively with Brogan and Dylan Freeze and Drake Saltarelli and Reese Allen, you know, all contributed again to the success that we had this year, and with Brogan leading the way and becoming a county representative for you know, nominations for FACA, along with our free safety Emmanuel Brooks, who is currently wrestling and excelling at that as well. He was able to really represent us as he's competing with Raymond Lewis and Brian Rodriguez in the All-Star game for the North County. And then we had a corner as well, Dylan Doyle, who excelled for us, and again, just was a great coverage corner for us. I believe he had 5 interceptions on the year. The free safeties got some good offers, and then on the offense side, we were led by our senior quarterback Owen Highnote, who's playing in the North All-Star game as well, who did a tremendous job, just kind of playing his role. You know, he definitely has some good feet, and you know, he's not the best at the deep ball, but his intermediate stuff really helped us this year and contributed. And, you know, followed by our receivers who did a tremendous job, which was we had two twin brothers that were seniors. We had a linebacker, which we switched him to tight end, who was a senior, Avery Tuttle, who really came on late for us and made some big plays in the, you know, the games that mattered for us. And then our running back was, I believe, 2nd or 3rd in the county. And in our classification, he was in the top 10 in the state for rushing yards, Nathan Carter. And we look for him to build on that success. And then finally, our offensive line, who did a tremendous job, you know, leading the way with, given us, I believe we had 1,800 rushing yards on the ground. And we had several seniors there, led by Caleb Guerin and Evan Futch, who were both nominated for the North All-Star game. And Caleb's actually competing in it. You know, from all those guys top to bottom, including our slot receiver, who is our backup running back, Nathaniel Gooden, who had over 1,000 total yards for us. You know, altogether, those guys couldn't have done it without those other seniors that maybe didn't contribute as much, but were huge for us in some regard to, you know, the success we had this year with going 7-3 in the regular season and, like I said, competing for a district championship. that gave us opportunity for the playoffs.
We're talking to Cody Montgomery in our Body Armor Prep Connection. He is the head football coach of Osceola, the Warriors. And I'll tell you one thing, coming here from the Midwest, and I alluded that to every coach in the area, I don't people realize the immense amount of talent in this state. And to make it to the playoffs, first time in 28 years, is no small challenge. Just last night, this gives you an indication of the talent in the state. Jesuit got beat 45-3, the reigning state champions, by St. Thomas Aquinas. And perennial power, the Lakewood Spartans, went down to Miami Central 39-21. Now, both Jesuit and Lakewood, as you're well aware of, are you know, factories for Division One and even the NFL. That gives you an indication of how difficult it is to coach in this state as well. And I applaud you and your close friend, Augie Sanchez, and what he's trying to do at Seminole, the former USF standout. And you guys are mentoring these young kids. But what a challenge each and every Friday night. I've only been to a handful of games in person, and the speed is so obvious, and it's apparent in the recruiting wars because Florida keeps getting gutted. Florida State, Florida Miami, they've allowed the doors to be open, and everybody in the country wants kids from the state of Florida, and it's got to be a tough task, Cody.
Oh yeah, and and I applaud those guys last week and the week before. I've gone to quite a few of their practices and I went to CCC and Calvary, Eastlake, and just got to see how they do it and what they do during the week. And I appreciate those guys opening up their doors and kind of letting me see behind the curtain and just kind of, you know, that ever, that nonstop trying to get better and see how other guys do it. And see if you can steal something from them. And CCC winning last night, that was huge. And they're going to compete for a state championship, the only one in Pinellas County. So, it's just impressive. And I applaud Corey for, Lakewood's success this year as they beat some pretty daggum good teams in the playoffs and only to play the number one team in the nation out of Miami Central. So, that was a tall task. And Jesuit as well, as I know their offense coordinator, Don Messick, who was at Clearwater for a long time. They did a phenomenal job all the way up until this past week. But again, they, like you said, they're playing St. Thomas Aquinas, who's just known for all these kids they have in the NFL. So.
Well, my friend, I appreciate you taking time. I know you're a busy man, and you got a young one, and we'll try to get some of the kids down here. I promise some of Owen's family would get him down here, the senior quarterback standout, and I look forward to further conversations, and we'll get you and Augie on at the same time, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Okay?
He and I are actually coaching in the All-Star game, in the North All-Star game, so... should be fun.
What's the date and where's that located?
So it's this Wednesday at Countryside High School at 7 p.m. Augie will be coaching the defense and I'm the head coach of it, but my offense coordinator is coaching the offense. So it should be a good time competing and getting to see some of the talent here in Pinellas County.
All right. Well, have a great time. I appreciate taking time. Have a great weekend, Cody.
All right, you too. Thank you.
It's Cody Montgomery, of course, Osceola, and our Body Armor Prep Connection. All right, Alex, got to pull you in this conversation. Where did you grow up at?
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Pittsburgh, PA. And from a high school football perspective, how would you rate, Pennsylvania obviously is known for the tough guys coming out of that state and the talent. And I was known for our linemen and tight ends. Have you been to a high school game down here?
I have not.
You'd be astounded by the speed.
I would assume that. I mean, where I'm from, high school football is prominent. It's something you go to on Friday, but it's not a lifestyle. It's not Texas. You know, it's it. My high school was, we had a 600 person graduating class. It's not small. You know, we had athletes that went to Dayton. They went to, you know, the D2, the lower D1 schools.
Sure.
But
Miami of Ohio.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then Case Western, IUP, like small schools around Pennsylvania and then the surrounding states. But we do not have a lot of guys from my school getting recruited out of state or to D1 programs that are play on the national level. Because we'd often run into teams that, you know, Phil Dracovic was a Boston College quarterback. He was a Notre Dame quarterback at one point. He came from our rival high school. But we'd always run into Catholic high schools as well that recruited big linemen. They were, you know, private. They could actually take kind of recruit in high school. It was a completely different game than I would assume the Florida, the Texas, any of these Southern schools or anywhere just truly where football is like ingrained in the culture.
Without a shadow of a doubt. But in Ohio, it's pretty prominent.
I have no idea about Ohio.
Oh, I can tell you that.
You could tell me a lot more about it than
all
I.
All right, well, let's take
Iowa. Is Iowa?
Oh, Iowa, it rules. On a Friday night, oh, absolutely. Friday Night Live, it absolutely rules from 8-player all the way to 5A. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little NFL. We'll talk a little more about U.S. soccer and their future. And any other topic he wants to talk about is his Penn State Nittany Lions and the demise of the Big Ten. We'll be back here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. I got to wake up Ben, a radio network.
Time's over. Reset the clock.
We're going to shut them down.
Dial the down.
Do it!
And get your head in the game.
Visualize an attack. Yes. Visualize an attack.
Yes. Yes. With the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I take a scotch and water. Hold the scotch.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. What a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season. The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club Rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
I'm Captain Jeff Figgers from Florida Fishing and Adventures. Do you want to constantly catch more fish, spend less time changing baits? If so, Monster 3X baits, jigs, and scents are the answer. Monster 3X baits are tough, durable, and resistant, which allows you to catch more fish per bait. The combination of the Monster 3X lure with the ProCure bait super scent, you will be landing more fish right away. Whether it's the Monster 3X Ultra Soft or the X Swim lures, Swim Shad, Paddle Tails, Crawfish, or the X Frog, Monster 3X, you'll always find it in my tackle box.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Tampa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, raised bucks and lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Tampa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. I'm sitting here with Alex Reba and Ben Botham, a couple of youngsters with a lot more wisdom and knowledge than I could ever hold. That's why I like to surround myself with young men like that. You look like you got a factoid there, Ben.
a factoid.
Well, you're perusing your, you know, I try to expand my vocabulary when I have you two on. So I get a thesaurus out on Friday nights, and I just try to pick up some new words that I can throw at you versus my stumble, fumble, and bumble.
I like that, Mike. You're joining us in the collegiate world here. You know,
I went to college a million years ago at Western Kentucky. And by the way, I want to do a shout out to the man, Mike White, the New York Jets, and of course, the backup now for the New England Patriots, Bo Sappy, both Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. How's that one, Alex?
I was going to say, you got to give a shout out to those Hilltoppers, man. They produce some talent.
Quarterback central now. What a thought, man.
Backup quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And we got Tyler Bass over from Georgia Southern. Hey, he's pretty good. Nice little kicker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We breed kickers there out of Georgia Southern. And Young Sho Koo out of the Falcons?
Young Way.
He's from Georgia Southern as well. We breed some good kickers out of there.
Kicker you.
Yeah, kicker you and Western Kentucky you. All right. Since you're both the baseball guys, let's talk about the announcement this week, on the Rays proposition that they want to keep the Trop basically in the 84 acres right across the street from where we're at, which is great news to Mark Ferguson. And for me, as long as I'm on the planet, I plan on staying down here.
Yeah, and I'm pretty happy about it. You know, if you've been listening to the show at all, I've been a strong proponent of keeping baseball in St. Petersburg.
And you're a born and bred kid that's been following the Rays since, you know, when you were born.
Oh, yeah. And so what recently happened was St. Petersburg received four proposals on Friday to redevelop the Tropicana Field site, including one from the Rays featuring a downtown ballpark and a mixed-use district, taking over the 86 acres featuring more than 5,700 family housing units, 1.4 million square feet of office spaces, 300 square feet of retail spaces, 700 hotel rooms, 600 senior living residences, 2,500 person entertainment venue, and various civic uses alongside a new state-of-the-art ballpark for the Rays.
You know what that does, Alex and Ben? That touches all touches all the boxes from a political perspective, because you got the 5,700 housing, and they make sure that it's, you know, reasonable down here and reasonable somewhere else is quite different. As a young man that moved down here and lives across the street and is wise in the world of sports, in your opinion?
I think it's the best option for keeping the Rays in St. Petersburg and keeping them in Florida. You know, I mean, we've seen a number of proposals over the years. We've seen a potential like Orlando, St. Petersburg, Tampa hybrid. I think that was the most egregious of the proposals. Then we saw the Ybor City proposal, which, you know, had merits. But I mean, look, if you're going to try to put them in Tampa, you got to put them in a place in Tampa that people are going to want to go to. And you got to continue to field a product that people are going to want to see. And the product itself has never been the issue. It's been the location and it's been the stadium itself. I mean, the Trop is not a grandiose stadium.
It's the best stadium in baseball. Are you kidding me? It's air conditioned. It's cool and 72 degrees year round. No rainouts. What's better than that?
I'm happy to tell that to all my friends, but on national radio waves, I'm not going to be able to say that that's the best stadium in baseball.
Oh my God.
It's an artificial design of a baseball stadium.
I'm okay with that.
It reminds me of
it's unique.
The Astrodome, which they blew up already.
No, the Astrodome still sits.
I think they imploded it.
No, they built the Texans Stadium adjacent to the Astrodome, but they have not been able to determine, because some people wanted it to be a national landmark because a lot of teams thought it was like the design of all domes. So the Astrodome itself
still there.
It still stands.
Oh my God, I've been saying for years that they blew it up.
You're not allowed to go into it, of course, because I'm sure it's a hazard inside, but the structure itself,
the shell,
still stands. It still stands, next to the Texan Stadium.
But if you're interested, people out there listening right now, if you want to be a part of the selection process, make sure to go down to the community presentation on January 4th, where you'll be able to weigh in on the different designs, the four different designs that they have come up with. So
is that the Stu Sternberg tap dance presentation? The tap dancer on every question you ask him. He has absolutely zero passion for this community, with the exception of the almighty dollar. And as I said last year, I haven't checked this year, they were eighth in net income. So he is a brilliant businessman. 31st in attendance, eighth in net income. that's a way to run a business. But you still need, as we look at the hot stove period of the off season, you still need some marquee names and you need some arms over there.
Zach Eflin, largest signing in Rays history, free agency.
What'd you think of that?
I
know, like, people that are shaking their heads that don't follow baseball all the time and go, who the hell is that?
Yeah. I mean, so I'm from Pittsburgh. I have plenty of Philadelphia fans. They said they were happy to see him go, but not necessarily overjoyed. He plays a valuable part on a postseason team. And I think the Rays pitching staff must see something, that they have great coaching, that they could maybe unlock him. But his biggest concern is he can't play a full season. You know, he can't be a number five on this current rotation. Can he be a number five for 200 innings or 160? I don't even know what they'd expect from him. But are they going to use him as a long reliever? And that's a lot. To pay the most ever in free agency history for Zach Eflin is a little bit
high. I think it was a poor use of the money, because they finally make a decision, Ben, to spend that kind of money.
Yep.
And you have people wondering who he is. You need a marquee name to get more butts in the seat. I don't care what you said. I don't care if their careers are waning. People will say, hey, we got such and such. He did this. Maybe his career will be a resurgence. You agree?
Yeah, that's what I'll say, at least with the Corey Kluber signing last year. It was somebody that we all at least kind of knew. I mean, if you're not somebody who follows baseball, like you guys were saying, you're not going to know who this guy is. And worst of all, he's been plagued by knee injuries. That's not good for a pitcher. That's your plant leg.
We certainly don't have the trainers and the medical staff to take care of anybody.
That last season proved that the best stadium in baseball had a curse on it, at least based off the way our injury.
Oh, yeah.
And then they send the guy to the All-Star game, give him an award, and said, good job, pal. Let's injure another 20 yeah. for next year.
Yeah, well, you and I have talked about that. My friend who was the trainer for the New York Yankees back in their heyday, he even questioned the training staff down here, and he wouldn't say a bad word about anyone. Of course, he's got 5 World Series rings.
Yeah, I'd give you 10 injuries max, you know, like a consistent 10.
Man, they were approaching 30.
Taylor Walls was pretty much an everyday player for the Rays. That should not be happening when you have Wander Franco on the roster. I mean, it's as simple as that. And not to mention, we had depth around Wander in the middle infield. I mean, but then you're seeing Taylor Walls and Yu Chang out there for most days in the regular season.
Well, I think the Rays in general are just too afraid of getting their star players hurt. I mean, they're afraid Wander Franco is going to depart them. And that's what sucks. And the Rays have to be okay with having a guy that goes out there that might be a little bit sore. Because guess what? It's a 162-game season. Your guys aren't going to be at 100% for the entire season.
That recurring hammy excuse, it pisses me off.
It's frustrating as a fan. You know, I mean, you need him in the lineup.
You can't get your hamstrings.
But I mean, hey, look, the Keenan Allen for the Chargers, they've been screaming about that all season. The guy's had a hamstring issue since like week one, and he's barely played. But and the difference between those two situations is Keenan Allen's in his 30s. Wander Franco's in his early 20s.
He's younger than you guys.
And that's very
not young.
Yeah, he's like right around my age. So that's very concerning if he's in a everyday hamstring issue, you know.
Yeah, he's too young. I mean, if you guys want to talk about a big signing in Texas, we can talk about.
Well, I thought the Rays were in that hunt, but obviously not. They spent $40 million somewhere else, but that wouldn't have scratched the surface with Jacob DeGrom.
But that's another guy who's been having injuries throughout his career.
Yeah, but I'll give him every dollar I have if he puts on a Rays.
You would have?
Oh my goodness.
Just to put butts in the seats, and he's a
To say if you get to the playoffs and then put him out there. I mean, that's as simple as it is. The guy is
a machine.
He's that dominant. He's 34, 35. I mean, he's getting into his
upper. He is a machine.
But look at Justin Verlander. Look, if you are that good and you can find a way to persevere through injuries, there's no reason you can't pitch in your.
All right, guys, we got 30 seconds. We're gonna wind down. Alex, I appreciate you coming down. You have an open invitation anytime. Ben will be back, and got a little. Diversity in the second hour. We'll be back here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.